Last Sunday was so safe because as we've been going through the book of Acts and thinking about our fellowship and partnership with the Spirit of Christ, Him living in us to accomplish the will of God. Last Sunday, I got to admit to you, it was so safe because we were dealing with external obstacles. We were looking at things outside of us that get in the way of us accomplishing God's will. And I'm going to confess to you this morning, today is very dangerous because today we have to talk about the biggest obstacle in our partnership with God, and that is us. This internal obstacle. You and I getting in our own way from truly being filled with the presence of Christ, truly accomplishing the work that God wants so much to put right in front of us. Church, before we will ever be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world, we have to have the heart of Jesus. So that's where we're going today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us here together. Lord, you gave your Son. You gave your Son to die for our sins. You gave us life to be able to enjoy that blessing. You gave us today. We're here. We're alive. And we have the opportunity to open our hearts to you. Father, I pray that you do the most powerful, miraculous work that can be done today. And that is changing our hearts. Father, we praise your name because we know you are able to do more than we can imagine. And we also know, Lord, that to accomplish your will, we need all that you have. So, Father, as your sometimes faithful children, as those that enjoy partaking of the body and blood of Jesus when we don't deserve it, Father, as your sometimes faithful children that sing songs that we really don't even believe the words. Father, we want to. We want to. And I pray today that you'll work in our hearts so that we will. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your books to Acts chapter 11. Last week we saw the Holy Spirit partner with Peter to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Peter's fully convicted. God says, hey, I need you to learn the truth, and then I need you to take that truth to these other people that are not our people. That was a very difficult thing for Peter. Peter got called to a very uncomfortable external situation. It was not right. It was not lawful. It was frowned upon. It was looked down upon for him, being a Jew, being God's person, to even go into the home of a non-Jew. You think about the nastiest person you can imagine, and you going into their home and having dinner with them and talking to them about important things. And that's what Peter was called to do. And now in Acts chapter 11, Peter comes back, and all of the Jewish believers, they hear what has happened. And their first response is, yeah, Peter, you've got some explaining to do. Because this is not what we do. This is not what it looks like. Peter, you're the problem. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him. You know, because that's what you do when someone becomes a believer in Jesus. You get upset. You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them? But Peter began and explained it to them in order. In verse 5, he says, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But the voice answered a second time from heaven, What God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea, and the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered a man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, Then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Whew. If this is your first time reading the book of Acts, this is a big deal. Okay? This is a big deal. If this is your 74th time reading the book of Acts, I didn't say it. This is a big deal. But church, today, this is your first time hearing Acts chapter 11. This is a big deal. Peter comes back and he says, These Gentiles are saved. He said, the gospel's gone to the Gentiles, huh? Well, Peter, we got to talk to you because you can't go into their homes. You can't share a table, a meal with these dirty people. Peter's like, no, brothers, look, you got to understand. Here's how it all went down. I was the same way. I thought they were dirty. I thought they were dogs. You know that that's what Jewish people called non-Jews. They call them dogs. They are less than us. They are beneath us. He goes, but I'm sitting there minding my own business, you know, as I do, and I'm praying, and I fall into a trance. And God just brings this sheet down from heaven, and on this sheet is filled with all of these unclean animals. And a voice told me, Hey, Peter, make some lunch. I've given you a buffet. And he's looking at it. I mean, like, we're talking about pigs and lizards and vultures. Okay? We're talking about unclean animals. Now, you know, most of us are omnivores and we're like, well, it sounds good to me. You just don't cook it right. You just got to get someone to cook it right, because if you know how to cook it right, you can make good out of everything, right? I don't know about you, but I am absolutely terrified. I've been seeing these pictures on social media of rabbits with things growing out of their faces. Have you seen this? Yeah, it's some kind of like papilloma virus is getting into the rabbits, and they're like growing horns, and they're coming all out of their heads and their faces, and finally they're not able to open their mouth and eat anymore. And we have rabbits out at our place, and I am like, I am looking at rabbits closer than I have looked at rabbits in a long time. Because I've been warned, you know, you don't touch those rabbits. And I'm thinking, That's the thing God lowers in the sheet for me and says, hey, rabbit stew. Look, I'll eat chicharrones, but I don't know if I want to eat rabbit horns. That doesn't sound right. Lord, no. Mm-mm. Liver? No. No organs. Right? Uh-uh. No. Goat? Goat? No. No. I know, goat is good. All these dirty things brought down to Peter, and he goes, yeah, I was in the same boat. But God said, if I say it's clean, you don't get to say otherwise. Look, church, we can just stop right here and let's all go out and have a great week. If God said it, we don't get an argument. We got to start right there. Because you and I come up with so many reasons why God cannot accomplish His will in our lives because He says something and you and I come up with an argument. We do it every single day. Hey, have no fear of them because all they can do is kill you. Instead, fear the one that actually determines where you spend eternity. No, 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 no. No, they can hurt me. I think I should be afraid of them. We do it every single day. Freely you have received, freely give. I kind of worked hard for this freely you talk about. I don't think I can be given it. You and I come up with reasons every single day not to listen to the voice of God. This is what we do. We're not good. We're not good. And we come together and we sing the songs and we say, oh, come on, Lord, I really want to partner with you. I want more of that Holy Spirit. I want more of you. But then when you give me an opportunity, yeah, I mess it up. Good news, though, because the solution's coming today. I'm not going to leave you hanging. All right? So Peter explains this to the Jewish believers. And I love the tension. Did you catch the tension at the end of this story? Like, he tells the whole thing, and he goes, hey, God has accepted them because they received the same gift that we received. God poured out to them the very same gift that we got when we heard the good news of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the Holy Spirit's all over them, and I'm like, well, if God accepts them, I've got to accept them. And everyone he's talking to, what does it say? This is one of those dramatic scenes in the movie, you know, where the big speech is gone and it's just been shared and everyone's like waiting for that first person to, how do we respond to this? Who's going to say it? And everyone's just silent. And then, hey! Everybody cheers. Okay, look what God has done. This is good. This is amazing. This is more. God is doing something just in their minds, so unlike God. And that he's not building walls to protect the faithful. He is tearing them down and saying, hey, let's just have more faithful. This is an amazing turning point in the history of mankind. This is an amazing turning point in the history of the book of Acts. And this should be an amazing turning point in the history of you and I partnering with the Spirit of Christ. They glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chester read this for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, look, if you get it, if you're mature, if you are filled with the Spirit of Christ, you will understand these things, you will believe these things, you will trust these things. And a couple things I want us to catch here in this reading. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 2, 7, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There you go, Brandon. We were talking about this before service this morning. We were talking about how good God is and the fact that God accomplished his will in this world by sending his son to die for us. That he got the victory, but the victory came after the defeat. Right? And again, secret and hidden wisdom, because who would have thought? Who would have thought that God would be so filled with love that he would defeat his enemies by becoming vulnerable? That God, the creator and owner of all things, is going to win over his enemies by making himself less. I hope I'm not the only one with alarm bells going off in my head. Look, God is only going to accomplish his will in your life, being filled with the Spirit, because that's what Paul says there in that second chapter. It's all about being filled with the Spirit. And what is necessary for me to be filled with the Spirit? What is necessary is me emptying me of me to make room for him. Then I will start to look at other people and say, you know what? I need to sacrifice something for them. You know what? I need to give something of myself for them. Even the horned rabbits. Even the ugly, nasty people in my life that have nothing good to say about me. Yeah, even them. Even the people that are filled with sin and dirtiness in their lives. Yes, even them. You mean not just my nice neighbors and, you know, my family? No, not just them. Church, for us to truly be, for us to truly be as Christ is, for us to truly live and look like Christ does, for us to truly be filled with the power of Christ, we got to deal with us. We got to deal with us. In verse 10, he said, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. We have received the Spirit of God, get ready, underline, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. We have been given the Spirit of God so that we can comprehend the free gift that God gives us. What is that free gift? That free gift is the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, paying the price for all of my sins. That free gift is how much He loved me while I was still a sinner. That free gift is the fact that God looked at me when I was an enemy and He said, I see potential friend. Church, we will not change the world around us until we start having the eyes of Jesus. In fact, Paul says it there at that last verse in chapter 2. We have the what? Last three words. The mind of Christ. I must see others around me as potential friends, neighbors, brothers and sisters. That's why Peter got the vision of the sheep. That's why the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles when he shared the good news with them. Because God is saying, I am here looking to expand. Quit shrinking. I'm looking for more. And church, one of our biggest problems, and again, I already gave the answer, our biggest problem is us. But in our beliefs and our ideas, one of our biggest problems is we just think, oh, the world's so evil and the world's so... Have you seen what's going on out there? And what do we do whenever we give room for the enemy? Mm-hmm. None of us live out loud. None of us live filled with the Spirit of Christ. Oh, he's there. I'm not denying your belief. I'm not denying your salvation. I'm just saying we're not living filled with the Spirit of Christ. Because we got room for what? We got room for fear. We got room for worry. We got room for what ifs. We got room for doubts. We got room for other things. And if we have room for other things, that is the definition of not filled. Right? I mean, fair, right? Okay. So let's just be honest about ourselves. We are not filled with the Spirit of Christ. Our mind is not devoted to Christ. We are not on board in accomplishing God's will in Lubbock, Texas, New Deal, Texas, Idaloo, Texas, whatever, wherever we are at, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our church, in our work, at our schools. We are not committed to that because we look and we still see enemies. You remember what the Bible tells us about what happened to our enemies on the cross? They were what? God's enemies were what on the cross? Starts with a D and it ends with defeated. Thank you. He defeated them. He disarmed them. Everything that they had to fight with. What did he do? Useless. Worthless. Powerless. You got nothing. He defeated them. There is no fear. There is no fear when you're on the side of victory. There is no fear when death has been taken off the table. He freed us up to be filled with Christ. Filled. Not kinda. Not halfway. Not just enough to drag myself out of bed on Sunday morning to come and sing some songs and take communion. Yay me! He disarmed them so that I could be filled with Christ. Because me, not that great. Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Yeah. Now what do you want to be filled with? Anybody else look in the mirror this morning? I did a thing. I looked in the mirror and I went, I just don't want to just do anything with my hair today. It's having one of those days. I'm ready to cut it all off. And I asked my wife, I said, can I get away with this? Because it's just kind of... She said, yeah, you look great. I said, well, now, let's not get carried away. I love you too, but you don't have to lie to me. I know I don't look great, but can I get away with this? Yeah, we look at ourselves and we just find fault. We can't even look at ourselves and see filled with Christ. So none of us are looking at our enemies and seeing potentially filled with Christ. That's the point. That's why we have the Spirit of Christ, so that we can have the mind of Christ, so that we can have the eyes of Christ. And there were a couple of you here on Wednesday night, and we're going to have to read it again, so we will have a heart of Christ. Let's turn over. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. And this is it, church, and I'm just going to let you know right here. Everything I have said is just so that I can say this. Okay? So here we go. Everybody wake up. Stretch your arms if you need to. Stretch your mind if you need to. So Paul says here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, go down to verse 11. This chapter, he has talked about all of the things that he and other apostles have gone through for the sake of Christians. All that they have suffered through, all that they have endured, all that they have gone through. Because if you're going to be filled with the Spirit of Christ in this world, you're going to have problems. You're going to get some backlash. Right? I mean, anybody paying attention on social media? the name of Jesus, what do people start doing? They go to a rally and someone's brave enough to carry a sign or to carry their Bible and they're willing to share the gospel in the crowd. And what is the crowd doing these days? I mean, there's no civility anymore. What's the crowd doing? They're screaming, right? I mean, I'm not the only one seeing this, right? They're screaming in their face. Yeah, they are screaming. Well, church, that's it. Because if we see that or if we get any pushback, the answer is not, oh no, well, I guess this isn't a safe environment to talk about Jesus. I'll just, You do you, I'll do me. That's not being filled with the Spirit of Christ. It's just not. It's not. Church, I hope you have an experience like that. I love that saying. I didn't come up with it, but I love it, and I don't know who to give credit for. I hope there's enough Jesus in you that it drives the demons in them crazy. I hope there's enough Son of God dwelling in your life so that when you come face to face to one of the enemy, that it just drives them crazy. I hope you get a little bit of that. I hope you get a little bit of that pushback so that your eyes will be open to the fact that, this really is a rescue mission. The enemy has captured a lot of souls because we have all sat here and been quiet. We're not sharing the gospel of Jesus that saves souls and brings people from death to life. And we are so far removed from our own salvific moment in history that we have forgotten its power. So we've just become scared. The Apostle Paul here says to the church, verse 11, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us. You are not restricted by us. You are restricted in your own affections. Okay, church. The Apostle Paul just looked at Christians and said, the only thing stopping you from truly doing everything that you're supposed to be doing is you. You're not sharing the gospel. Why? Because you don't love other people enough. You're struggling with that one aspect of your faith. Why? Because your heart's not open to God. You're hiding that secret sin and you're not willing to give up. Why? Because you don't love God enough. It's your own affections. It is your own affections getting in the way of you being who you're supposed to be and being able to be filled with all that He has to offer. It's you. It really is you. It's me too. It's us. But when I say you, I mean individually. Okay? He said, you're not restricted by us. I kind of like that because, you know, I mean, we come together on Sunday, but come on. You and I are out there fighting the fight all by yourself all week long. And what does Paul say? You're not restricted by us. We're not holding you back from doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't look at us and go, oh, well, you know, well, if Sunrise had a program, then I'd get involved. If Sunrise had an evangelistic effort, then I would sign up. I'd be the first one there. Truth still applies. Paul says, you're not restricted by us. We're not stopping you. What do you stop by? Your own affections, your own heart. Your heart's not big enough. It's gotten too small. Look, I've been uncomfortable with that verse for 2 weeks now. You can have a couple minutes with it. I have been convicted by God Himself. Because I'm praying the prayer and I'm saying, Lord, I want to be filled with more of you. I want more of your Spirit. I want what you have promised. And He has looked right back at me and says, Michael, your heart's not big enough. You're only restricted by your own affections. Convicted. Repentant. My affections are not big enough. I don't love people enough. I don't love people enough. How do I know? I still miss opportunities. I still look at some people and not go, how can I bring Jesus to them? I still go through a day and complain about something that didn't make me happy or wasn't easy. I'm not filled with Christ. Christ is there, and I love every bit I got, but I'm not filled with Christ. There's room. There's room. And I read these verses, and we talked about this on Wednesday night, so I know a couple of you have heard this voice again. But he says, Christians, you are only restricted in your own affections. The only thing stopping you from being filled with Christ is you. That's it. It's you. It's me. It's us. It's us. Tony told us already this morning, Jesus breathed his last, and what did he say? Finished. Finished. He accomplished it. He completed it. He brought his work to an end. Now he sent his Spirit, and he says, hey, I want partners. I want you to be involved in the work. I want you to do your part. He's done his part. But when we don't make enough room for him, when our heart is too small, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He says in chapter 7, verse 2, make room in your hearts for us. Church, here it is. This is the lesson for today. You and I got to get up or get down, whichever need be, and we have to make room in our hearts. There's not enough room in our hearts for the Spirit of Christ. There is not enough room because we got too many other things filling us. We got too many other things that we are worshiping. We got too many other things that we are devoting ourselves to. We're either busy worshiping idols or we're busy afraid of things that are not real. Faith in the wrong direction or a lack of faith, whichever. We're all there. We're all there. We are restricted by our own affections. And I'm going to share this with you because recognizing this in myself, this is what I did. This was Wednesday, okay? This is just what I did. I said, Lord, okay, you got me. Right there. I get it. I know this is me. This is not a lesson I got to go tell the church. Okay, Sunrise, you're not being faithful enough. No, He came and said, Michael, you're not being faithful enough. Your heart is small. Your heart is small. Yeah, you take care of your business. You're nice to everybody. You love those close to you. But your heart is small. You don't have enough room for me. I want to do more in your life. And I've gotten in the way. I am in the way. I'm still working. But I got up Wednesday morning. I said, okay, Lord, I'm open. I'm open today. Today. I'm giving you today. I thought I gave you yesterday, but I really didn't. I'm giving you today. And every person I come in contact with, I'm going to open my heart to them. In every situation I find myself in, I'm going to open my heart to them. I'm going to be open, Lord. I'm going to be open. I need you to fill me with your affections because my affections are limited. And that entire day, you know what he did? Well, he does exactly what he always does. He says, okay, I can work with that. You give me real estate and I'll build something good. And it changed relationships. And it changed interactions. And I'll just be honest with you. Wednesday is one of the hardest days of the week for me because I work all day just like everybody that shows up. And Wednesday night, and I got to get up and we got to praise his name. And we are tired. Look, those of you that don't come back on Wednesday, I know you're tired. The 12 of us that do, we're tired too. And we come together and we sing some songs and we pray some prayers. And I got to get up and I got to go, okay, here we go. And I'm usually, by Wednesday, I am tired. I was not tired Wednesday. It was 8:30 p.m. Long day. I was not tired. You know why? Because there wasn't enough of me in the way to get tired. Because I said, Christ, I want my heart to be open to you. And he just filled it all day long, all evening long, all night long, and I had everything I needed and more. I could have worshiped for another hour on Wednesday night when I still had to get up early on Thursday, but I was ready to go. And he made everything different. He made everything different that day because I said, Lord, I get it. I'm in your way, and I want to be out of the way. I just want there to be you. Ephesians chapter 3. And we know this one. We love this one. Because we may be sitting here going, well, I mean, really, Michael, come on. I mean, I got to go to work. I got to go to school. I got to take care of my responsibilities. How much room can one possibly have in their heart for Christ? I mean, how much of my life would actually change if I actually did these things? If I actually said, God, I want it to just be you. I just want it to be you. Change my relationships. Change my attitude towards my spouse. Change my attitude towards my kids, towards my parents, towards my boss, towards my coworkers. Change me so that I have more room in my heart for strangers, for friends, for enemies. Bring that sheet down. Teach me what I need to learn. That everybody's on the table. And you want to use me right here, right now, to bring some good and to share salvation with others. And so we read from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. And again, you know this, Ephesians chapter 3, where he just stops and he prays for them. But I want you to hear how he describes this in verse 16. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, we got to open our hearts. We have to enlarge our hearts. In fact, the Greek word over there in 2 Corinthians 6, I mean, he says you're limited by your own affections. Open your hearts. It means open, expand. It doesn't matter how much you think you love. It's not enough. It's not enough. There's room for more. How do I know? Well, I know because I'm going to keep on reading the words. You, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. And here it is. What is the breadth and length and height and depth? And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Our hearts aren't big enough. Our hearts aren't big enough because God has more love to give. God has more love to give, and he has called us to participate in that. That's our purpose. That's why he fills us with his Spirit. That we are rooted and grounded in love. In love. So that we can understand just how big his love is. Because when we understand how big his love is, we cannot look at people the same way. We cannot experience suffering the same way. We cannot sit silently in fear the same way. Because his love is too big. His love is too big. All right, you give me the silence. I'm not expecting you to cheer. But I hope some of you are cheering on the inside. I hope some of you are heartbroken on the inside. I hope that God is doing whatever is absolutely necessary for you to understand that you have more room for his love. He wants you to have all of it. And all of it is bigger than we can even imagine. And it's only limited by our own affections. When we choose to love other things, we're going to have less room for God's love. When we put other things in His place, we're going to have less room for Him. Church, this is the life we've been called to. He's acted. He's finished it. But He calls us to have faith to trust it. Anybody see that Jim Carrey movie, Yes Man? Is he a lawyer in that movie? I don't remember the details. He's a what? Oh, that's right, because he was doing the microloans. He's a banker. He's a mid-level management in a bank. And I don't even remember the premise of how it got there. I just remember that for whatever reason, he could not say no to any new idea that came along his path. He had to say yes to everything. He could not say no to anything. He just had to say yes. And it completely changes his life. It completely changed his life. In fact, his job, his responsibility was approving loans for people. And so people just started coming in for the craziest ideas for all these loans. And they were just like, some people just needed a couple $100 to do this or to do that. And he just approved them all. Just boom, boom, boom. He just rubber stamped them. They thought he was going to get in trouble, but his boss said, you've discovered a new well. These microloans, everybody's paying them back. It's amazing. It's a new business model. His life has totally changed. He got to do some amazing, exciting adventures that he never would have got because he was just too busy living his life with no. And I couldn't help but think of this movie and us because how many times does Jesus show up and say, hey, let's go do this? And you and I go, no. Hey, here's something you can do. Why did I just think about that person? Well, I don't know. Maybe God put them on your heart. Maybe you're supposed to be calling them, texting them, reaching out to them, talking to them. Maybe you're supposed to be stopping and praying for them. Maybe if your heart's big enough for them, when the Spirit leads you somewhere, you can go, yes. Yes. I got room for that. Church, we are limited by our own affections. And I say we because I am the worst in this room. I am the worst. My heart has gotten small. My heart has gotten small. And I've been sitting here going, come on, Lord, I am talking about the Holy Spirit. Give me some Holy Spirit. And, you know, of course, in my prayer, I was thinking, show me some gifts. And he said, yeah, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you your little heart. You have not enough capacity for the power that I want to show in your life, Michael. Get to it. Expand your heart. Much like our Lord, not the answer I was looking for. But it's rooted in Scripture. And I believe it's alive and working. And I still believe I'm the biggest obstacle. Rooted and grounded in love, you have more room. You have more capacity for love than you can imagine. And God needs you to open that up. He's not going to force you. He's going to make it possible, but He does not force. Not yet, anyway. Not yet. So, while there's still chance, while there's still time to respond, open your heart. If you need to open your heart to the sacrifices of Jesus for your salvation today, then open your heart. And if you opened your heart that much to receive the salvation of Jesus, but then since then, just listen to your words. Think about your thoughts. Are you consumed with Christ? Or has Christ just become another something? I'm not consumed with Christ. My heart has gotten small. And I repent of that. Because He wants to do more with my life. He wants to do more with my life. And if He needs to do more with your life, do not limit your own affections to where He's trying to lead. Be the partner He needs in your life. God is calling you to be the partner He needs in your life.